you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here, hello, we're here at The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly...
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigatti from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks!
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Celebrating her 9th anniversary as the Ghost Host, it's Sophia Temporelli right here on LiveParanormal.com.
The Ghost Host.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And yes, you heard it correctly. Congratulations, Sophia, on over 9 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. You're doing an amazing job. You've helped a lot of people with your broadcast over the years. Thank you, Rob Sirik, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week. And thank you guys, all our moderators, for patching us through at live events over the years. Thank you guys so much here at the Live Paranormal Network. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As well, feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. We hope everyone's keeping safe out there. Today, we welcome executive producer and paranormal investigator Adam Berry, who will be joined with a renowned psychic Chip Coffee as both promote their new season launch of Travel Channel's Kindred Spirits. Today is the day of the launch. That's tonight, so it's 9 p.m. Central, Kindred Spirits on the Travel Channel. So everyone, visit adam-berry.com, chipcoffee.com, amy-bruni.net, hashtag too along the way if anything, any any chat rooms or social media, hashtag Kindred Spirits. And at Travel Channel, at Adam Berry, at Chip Coffee, at Amy Bruni, and at Strange Escapes, too, for Adam and Amy. They do events nationally, so look where they're going to be next as things clear up. Also, upcoming, we have pretty effing spooky YouTube and TikTok sensation. Paulson will be on the program next week, the 9th. Also, to haunted historian founder Connor Gossel. He'll be on the program on the 16th. Intuitive medium researcher, pet spirit grieving author Rob Gutro returns to promote his new work. That'll be on the 30th. Also, Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Mind series paranormal investigator Patrick Doyle will be on the program on February 13th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. So like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekends here at LP. And check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month here on Live Paranormal. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of books by some of your favorite paranormal authors all autographed. He's great at rewarding everybody and support the vendors here. So if you're getting grandma a mail meter for a birthday or anything like that, do it here on LP. Also, if you miss anything, archive shows, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads immediately following the show. And so let's bring on the host here, the Ghost Host. Let's see, a little slow in the toggling to unmute here. There we go. Sophia, congratulations, 9 years.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 9 years.
Yeah, you're doing a fantastic job. But you got all these, you got the YouTube, some new videos posted there too as well. You got a lot of things. You got the Twitter, the Instagram, all this stuff. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with 1L and Instagram at Sophia Temporelli. Also upcoming, a podcast will be posted on Paranormal-ish with JJ Wright. I was on his show recently, so pretty soon that will be posted. So yeah, make sure to check that out when it's out.
I know, it sounded like a really cool interview you did with JoJo. And so, fantastic day today. Great thing to celebrate today, the Kindred Spirits Lodge tonight. Tell us about our guest.
Today, we welcome executive producer and paranormal investigator Adam Berry, who will be joined with renowned psychic Chip Coffee as both promote their new season launch of Travel Channel's Kindred Spirits on the day of the actual series premiere. I want to thank Travel Channel for making today's show possible. Everyone tuning tonight on Travel Channel at 9 p.m. Central for Kindred Spirits' debut launch episode of the brand new season. Let's welcome them into the show.
Let's see, again, I'm trying to unmute here as quickly as I can. Let's see, I believe Chip's mic is open.
Hello, Adam, hello.
There we go, we got you both in. Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, thank you both so much for coming on today.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. We're excited to be here.
And congratulations to both of you on the new season of Kindred Spirits. That's really exciting, so congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So, to start off, Adam, how did Kindred Spirits all come about, and what was it like for you when you initially found out that the show got greenlit?
Wow. Okay. Let's see. So, 5 years ago, which is insane to say, I know you said 9 years, congratulations, 5 years.
Thank you.
Crazy. It seems crazy to me. So, Amy and I really wanted to set out and do something different, in terms of documentation, when it comes to paranormal cases. We wanted to show a full-fledged investigation from start to finish and the way that we like to investigate. So we wanted to not only just go and see if the place was haunted, but we wanted to find out the what, why, and where. Like, why is it haunted? Who is it? And why are they still there? And you know, we had been approached a few times after our departure from Ghost Hunters, you know, asking us, well, if we wanted to do something, what would we want to do? And we sort of, you know, on a whim, just, you know, pitched this idea of like, well, this is what we want to do. This is how we want to do it. And if you're it was Destination America at the time. And we said, if you're cool with that, you know, we'd love to make it happen. And they loved it. They thought it was something that they could really get behind. It was different. It was a full-fledged investigation. And, you know, we've been very fortunate to have the same people who greenlit our show on Destination America are now running Travel Channel. So we're very fortunate to have been, you know, following. They've been with us since day one, which is really, really amazing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, when we got greenlit, shocking. Shocking. Because,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, I think we, one of the first people we told was Mr. Chip Coffee there, because I knew that he'd be very excited. And of course, you know, from the beginning, we were like, we have to figure out a way to use our friends in mm-hmm. the field who do things that we can't do. You know, Greg and Dana, Chip Coffee, John Tenney. And we wanted them to be a part of it because we have our little tribe of people who we trust and we believe in the work that they do. And doing what we do is not you can't do it alone. You can't just do it by yourself and pretend you know everything. So it's been wonderful. And I congratulations, Chip. We have 5 years, honey. Here we are.
Yeah, and Chip, what was it like for you to become a regular on the show, and how did they initially approach you to become, you know, a more prominent role on it?
Well, for years, Amy and Adam and I have been friends, and
mm-hmm.
we had done a lot of event work together. I'd been invited to come to a lot of events that Amy and Adam had sponsored, and they had included me in those events. And then when the show was greenlit, I went in for one episode during the first season and was very grateful to have been offered to do that. And through the upcoming seasons that were coming forward, I was very happy to be invited to come on as a regular. I think it all started, though, to make a long story short, with us being friends, gaining a trust of how each other worked, having a mutual respect all the way around for each other, and that's kind of the way it all started, with mm-hmm. knowing each other, knowing how we worked, and feeling comfortable with the whole process of working together.
Absolutely. Trust is so important when you're investigating. So it's great that you guys have that bond because, you know, if someone experiences something on the show, you can really trust that they experienced that and what happened was real.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't, I mean, it's, you can't put that together. Like, you can't create a ghost mm-hmm. show and just, you know, quote unquote, cast people who don't know each other. It just doesn't really work. And I think we've lucked mm-hmm. out with Kindred Spirits where, you know, we've been able to use our friends. And it's like a big family. You see it during our investigations, and we trust each other. That's a huge thing.
Yeah,
I had a huge amount of respect for the way that Adam and Amy conducted business. They did it in a way that I had admired and had felt very confident that the way that they were going to proceed and do things was going to be a fit for how I would want things done or how I expected things to be done. So it was kind of a mutual admiration society that we had going there, and it came together and it worked, which was great.
Yeah, and to also
add,
we've all been friends forever, and Chip, I've seen Chip say the craziest things and, like, pick up the craziest things on investigations mm-hmm. and at gallery readings, and he's told us, Amy and I, individually at different times, like, something to look out for in our lives, and it happens, and we don't understand how he does what he does, but we trust him, and, like, that's a big thing, and I, especially for a psychic medium, it's like, you know, I've seen him in action.
Mm-hmm.
He is insane, and he's a great asset to
what we do
in the field. Oh, well, you're welcome, ma'am.
Well, I just love, and, you know, as you can tell, Sophia, we love each other.
Yeah.
And that's a really good basis to start from,
mm-hmm.
is that mutual love and respect that we all have for each other. And, you know, not to say that we're always going to agree on everything, because we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a part of it, too, because that inspires you, or it makes you look at things differently from different angles. If everybody agreed with how to proceed on an investigation, it would be pretty dull. So you've got to look at every aspect, and that's what I admire the most about Amy and Adam, is that they think outside the box and they don't have a cookie cutter approach to doing things. They're always trying to come up with new and innovative ways to conduct an investigation, and that's the exciting part for me. I never know what they're going to throw at me, and that's the fun of it for me. It keeps me on my toes.
For sure. And I remember last time Adam was on the show, he actually compared you guys kind of to like the Avengers, you know, just with all your unique skills and assets, but you all come together for one common goal.
We do.
Yes.
I don't know which Avenger are you, Adam. Which one are you? I don't know which one you would be. Who are you?
I honestly don't know. I'm going to let the viewers and the listeners decide.
I like that.
I expect a drawing. I expect drawings in our inbox and on Twitter ASAP.
I think you picked either Thor or Captain America, but I think it was Thor.
Yeah, probably.
I like that idea.
And who, why not?
Yeah.
I must confess, I think I'm out of the demographic to watch many of the Avengers films, so I don't know which one I would be, but it'd have to be somebody that was a grumpy old fart.
Well, I would say, I mean, I'm kind of a gamer. I haven't seen all the Marvel films, but I would say more like Doctor Strange, because he can see all the different potential outcomes to each situation.
I think Doctor Strange pretty much describes me pretty well, Sophia. 100%
yep,
Doctor Strange.
There it is.
And it's Benedict Cumberbatch. So, I mean, it's kind of like a win.
That's not a bad thing, then.
Yeah. But speaking of all the strange things that you've kind of experienced on set, whether it's things that Chip has picked up or actual evidence, what, through the past seasons, in the past 5 years, is the strangest or coolest thing that has happened to you on an investigation?
Oh, my gosh.
There's so many.
I mean, okay, so... I mean, everyone knows about the train episode, the Crocker Tavern episode. That was mind-blowing for us. I think, you know, what's really interesting about Kindred is I'm picking up on something what Chip said. Like, we dig and we do things very, very differently. We try to change it up based on the investigation and where we're at. And so I think the most surprising thing for us is when what we are doing and we get certain information which matches up to things that Chip is feeling, and then all of a sudden it kind of comes together like this puzzle, right? And we're like, this is what we believe is happening because of X, Y, and Z, and here is proof of why we think that, right? And there's so many times where we get to the end of an investigation almost, and we're like, I have no idea how it's ending. I don't know what's happening. There's something we're missing, and we keep digging, and we are shocked more often than not about the outcome, because we genuinely have no idea how it's going to go. And I think a lot of those things, I think some of the most shocking things that we've ever experienced is about to be premiered in season 5. I mean, there are things that we do during this season that change the way we feel about the paranormal, how we feel about investigating certain things. And, you know, we were lucky and fortunate enough to work during a pandemic, and Chip couldn't travel, but Mr. Coffee, being 3,000 miles away from us, was connected fully. You know, he had a screen, he could see everything that we were seeing. We would take him through walkthroughs, and it was almost crazy, like more impressive that Chip was picking up on things based on our energy and what he's feeling about a space, like almost more so than being in the actual space, which, Chip Coffee, I don't know how you do it.
You know what? I'll tell you this. I really knew that in order to keep my job, I had to up the ante. And if I couldn't be on set with these wonderful people in the crew, I knew that I had to really, really, really pump up the energy and try to connect even harder to what was going on. Not that I was lazy when I was on set, but, you know,
no.
I did want to keep my job. I did want to be there with you guys. I wanted to be a valuable part of what was going on. So I honestly, I shocked myself with how well it worked, and I have to congratulate all of us for really putting the pedal to the metal and making it happen, because I had huge question marks about whether or not I was going to be able to come up with stuff from being at a great distance.
Right, and I think it helps. Go ahead. sorry.
No, go ahead, Adam.
I was just going to say, I think it helps that we're all friends because, you know, told us, Chip said from the beginning, he was like, I'm going to be, my goal is to tune into your energy, to you to act, because I know you very well. It's like, I'm going to take and like, you know, from what I'm getting from you and the space. And, you know, I know he does phone readings, but like this was a different level. It was, and we were able to do different experiments with Chip that we wouldn't be able to do if he was actually in the space. It was almost as if we had to adapt our entire investigation, because of the circumstances as well. But it was amazing. It was incredible. And I really can't wait for people to see it.
And, you know, I want to kick in a couple of things here. And thank you for those kind words, Adam. Amy and Adam, you know, I've worked with a lot of different investigators, but the way that we work just gels. It clicks. And, you know, it, for all the reasons that we've already stated, it just does work. It works. And we're all about connecting the dots. And sometimes we find dots that we didn't even begin to anticipate were there. You know, there are new dots popping up all over the place. And you've got to connect and put the piece of the puzzle, connect the dots, whatever. One of the things in the question that you asked, what's going to be especially exciting, and Adam, I think we can talk about this because it's been put out on a promo teaser type video, is the fact that when we went to the location of the premiere episode, which is the Proctor House in Salem, Massachusetts, the first time we were there was for the live episode that was done in 2019. And it was a live investigation, and we really didn't get to investigate it as thoroughly as we wanted to. So when we went back as kindred spirits, we had an opportunity to delve a little deeper in it. But the first time we were there, Greg and Dana Newkirk were there, and we did a seance. And Dana is a tarot expert, and she pulled the devil card twice while we were there. And then we went back, sitting at the table. I was there virtually. They were there physically. And sitting at that same table, lo and behold, again. And how many times did it happen that night for Kindred? It happened a couple of times on the night of Kindred that the devil card was again pulled out on that episode in which city, USA?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting. Yeah, I think what you'll find out, without getting too much away, what you'll find out tonight is that you know, there's obviously a reason for activity to happen, and there's a reason for things to happen. So, I think when people find out the reason why that kept happening, but will be insane. And like Chip said, you know, when we went back there, when we went there the first time, we were getting a lot of information. We were getting a lot of interaction. We thought maybe it was Giles Corey. It could be John Proctor. We were getting, like, that was a four-hour live investigation, and all of us working together using the sigil, using millions of people at home tuning into the Facebook Live, looking at the sigil, using that collective energy. We definitely got in touch with something in that space. And then when we left that investigation, all of us felt felt that there was something else. There was something else about that house. There was something else about that location. And, you know, we talked to the homeowners that night. We said, listen, we're not done here. We have to come back if you'll allow us. And they were very, very sweet. And they were like, absolutely, please do. We can't believe that what you've got here already. And so for us to go back and to dig deeper into a case which was already mind-blowing was a blessing and a curse. And you're going to see why tonight. It is it's something that we've never had to deal with. It's something I don't think paranormal investigators ever actually think about. You know, it's like something
it's
they don't think
shocking.
About.
It's shocking. It's shocking.
Yeah. And so, the season premiere is just the tip of the iceberg for season 5. I mean, the episodes keep getting better, and what we find throughout this season is that we don't know as much as we think we do.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. And I think the thing is, you know, it's such John Proctor's house. It's such a big thing, especially with books like The Crucible, and you have just like Salem. Mm-hmm. It's such a historical and amazing place that I feel like everyone knows about. Do you feel kind of any added pressure when going on investigations with something that is, even though it's not just in the mainstream every day, it's such a renowned case with, you know, fictional books like The Crucible where it's telling you about it, but also a different time period. Is that kind of harder, or does it make it a little bit easier to have kind of all the facts laid out in front of you like that?
Well, I mean, I think it helps and it hurts. I mean, I think the facts are there,
mm-hmm.
but it's differentiating between what's folklore and what is actually fact. So
mm-hmm.
I think the pressure comes from getting the accuracy of the factual information out to the world. You know, for instance, we talk about, you know, in the case, like, this was John Proctor's land. It is called the Proctor House, but the house was probably built by his son, which it's the same, you know, the same family, but it's something that we talk about. You know, the land was his. The land actually extended a bit further than, you know, what's currently sitting around that house. But I think when we do cases with historical context, especially with the Salem witch trials, it's about getting the information it's about relaying the information correctly from the beginning, not sugarcoating anything, factually telling information, because that's the only thing that's going to help us on our case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine, you know, trying to sift through all of that fact and fiction. But I can't wait to see the show. It's going to be amazing to really see all of that come together and see what you guys capture. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Still, again, trying to mute the mics and everything here. And, yeah, I'm John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late-famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James. We'll be right back with Adam and Chip.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave, left out of the audio bites there. Hey, we got to get audio bites from our guest today. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Your calls are welcome, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As well, feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. We have the Amish comedians in the chat room right now, too, as well. So he's in there with a few people. So if you jump in there and you have any questions for our guests, make sure that they're all capped so we can distinguish between just the conversations we're having. And also, to visit, play along, adam-berry.com, chipcoffee.com, amy-bruni.net. And if you're on social media during the premiere tonight, hashtag Kindred Spirits. Let me bring everybody back in here. Again, a little lag in the unmuting process here on the show, so you're hearing that real time. And Adam and Chip, you're back on with Sophia.
Hello, hello.
I'm back.
Hey, thank you guys again so much for coming on today.
You're welcome.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit about kindred spirits, but let's go back to the beginning. So for both of you, I know you've been investigating a long time, but Chip, how did you initially discover your abilities and then kind of really dive into the world of the paranormal?
I have to go all the way back to childbirth. I was actually born during a near-death experience mm-hmm. that my mom was having.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of that's the long story short. There's a longer version of it, but that's the short version. I was born during her near-death experience. As a toddler, they recognized that I would be playing with my toys and would stop and look at the phone, and soon after the phone would ring, and then when I became verbal, I would look over at the phone and say a name, and that person would be at the other end of the line when they answered the phone. So I was kind of an early version of caller ID, and I wound up knowing things about people, places, and things as a psychic, and many years later, I discovered that I had the ability to dialogue with the dead. That happened much mm-hmm. later in my 40s, and I was shocked by that knowledge that I had that ability. But I think I got that ability when I was ready to get it. I think the gift was given when I was ready mm-hmm. to receive it. Paranormal investigating, I had a paranormal investigation of sorts that happened in a house that I lived in that was haunted when I was a child, but officially, I started paranormal investigating with my friend Patty Starr, who took me on my first official investigation back in the early 2000s, and it just sort of proceeded mm-hmm. and progressed from there that I became more and more involved in the field, and here we are today.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you've done so much amazing work in the field. I actually met you on the Queen Mary back in 2008.
We did.
So it's...
You were such a tiny little thing. You've grown up, girl.
Yeah, it's been great, you know, to see all of your work throughout the years. I remember you actually gave me some of your dominoes, so I'm still super happy about that. I love food, so that was really cool.
who could resist just... you? You know, I know your dad is here also on with you, right?
Uh-huh.
He was so charming and so nice, and we talked, and, you know, I just remember you being this sweet, precious little girl. Who wouldn't love you immediately? Come on.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been great to see your work throughout the years, and it was great meeting you, especially in some place like the Queen Mary. So much history there. And
so much.
I'm sure for you it was just, like, you know, crazy to feel all of the energy there. I don't know if it was your first time or not, but it's such an amazing ship, and you never know what you're going to get.
It is, and it was my first time there, actually, and mm-hmm. I've been back a few times. I've been there at least once or twice with Mr. Adam Berry and Amy Bruni. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's always fascinating to go back and spend time on the ship because you just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And, Adam, you also have been investigating quite a while. How did you initially gain an interest in the field and then eventually, you know, start just kind of, like, going around to different events
yeah.
and stuff? How did that all initially come about?
Lord, okay. Way back, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not good. I won't do it that one. So I've had paranormal experiences growing up, and I've always been fascinated with ghosts and the afterlife, and I was never scared of it. I mean, you know, same for a lot of us that are really doing this. It was a fascination that I couldn't quite explain. Like, I just didn't understand why it was happening, and I wanted to know more, and long story short, I ended up starting my own team with my husband in Provincetown, Massachusetts, and then I mm-hmm. applied for Ghost Hunters Academy on a whim because, you know, I had watched Ghost Hunters, I had my own team at that point, and I was like, you know what, I could do this. Like, I could totally do this. And it was, I didn't think anything of it. I just applied like everyone else, and for some reason, the cards fell where they may, and I ended up being on that show. I won that show. My prize was, I always say my prize was Amy Bruni because... I ended up being her partner on Ghost Hunters. And, you know, we did that for a really, really long time. And she and I had the same sort of, mentality about, you know, how to investigate and what we want to find. And we kind of grew together over the last, you know, those first 6 years, you know, working together and going to these places. And and then after that, it was Kindred Spirits. I mean, I think I like to say, and Chip will agree, none of us had a choice in the matter. Like, none of us actually had a choice to do this. We did it as a hobby or as something mm-hmm. that we felt compelled to do. And somebody in the ether, some spirit guide, somebody was like,
mm-hmm. you know what? This is right for them. This is right for them. They're gonna do this full time. And so we've been lucky enough to do that kind of thing. And we didn't have a choice. And I think about it all the time because nobody really does this for a living. I mean, it's always a hobby or a passion. And when you get to do your hobby and a passion as a career, we're very, very lucky. And so that's sort of how it panned out. And in the short version, maybe mm-hmm. there'll be a memoir one day, a short memoir.
Well, I completely agree. I always say that too. You know, I live in a haunted house at a very young age. I had already been in the paranormal at the time, but I always tell, like, even my mom, you know, I didn't choose the paranormal. The paranormal picked me, because even if I decided tomorrow, hey, I'm done with my show, I'm going to leave the field, those experiences are still with me. So it's really just like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know what it is, but it's like the paranormal just kind of picks some people, and then, you know, here we are talking to, you know, dead people. It's just a really weird
yeah.
thing.
It is. And you know what? It's like when you're on a plane and somebody's like, what do you do for a living? I always say, like, I'm an accountant, because at least I can stop talking. They're like, oh, okay. And they're like, they don't want to talk to me. Not that accounting's, you know, boring or whatever, but I just kind of picked
yeah.
the thing that nobody really wants to talk about. Because once you say ghost hunting, I'm a paranormal investigator, they're like, oh, I have a story for you. And not that that's, you mm-hmm. know, a big deal, but, you know, it's one of those things that it's hard to put on your, you know, your resume if you're trying to get a job.
Yeah, I completely get that. My friend I talk to on Discord a lot, he has a friend that's also in our group, and he knows I'm in the paranormal. So this guy we're on Discord with a lot, he always just keeps saying, hey, like, send a ghost to my house, let's play on the Ouija board. And, like, it's just ridiculous. It's, like, constantly. So I can see,
yeah.
if you're on a plane or something, how that would be. It's like, hey, accounting, that's a really normal thing.
Exactly. It's just, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. And, you know, there mm-hmm. are times that I do love to talk about it, as now. You know, like, right now, we love to talk about it, so.
Absolutely. And we have a question in the chat room from Amish Comedian. I wasn't really aware they had internet, but he wants to know, if everything is just energy, what if it isn't the spirits but the energy of the house? I'm assuming he's meaning a haunting.
I will jump in and answer that really quick, if I may.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that is, we don't know. We don't know what energy is when it comes to paranormal. We don't know what we don't know. So all we're doing in so many instances is we're putting out thoughts and theories and hypotheses and trying to figure stuff out. So, you know, when you come to try to quantify it or explain it, that's what I call the paranormal. It's, you can't understand it, you can't explain it, but you can't deny it. And, you know, mm-hmm. we try to label things too much, and we don't have labels for it yet. We don't know what it is. That's why we're investigating and trying to discover new things all the time. But when it comes to where we're at right now, we don't have explanations for a lot of things that happen. We just conjecture about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think the more that we do this, the less we know. I mean, we have an idea. Everything that we do is theory. Mm-hmm. We'll never speak in absolutes. We'll never say this is exactly what this is. We have theories based on our experiences. When something happens in front of us, we go through our Rolodex of experiences and what does that appear to be to us based on what we already know? Can we explain it away? And then we move forward. I mean, there's a lot of different theories about what energy is, what ghosts are. I love to talk about how, you know, matter and energy is never destroyed nor created. So, you know, the circle of life. When we go, that energy and matter that we're made up of has to go somewhere. And where it goes
mm-hmm.
is what we're trying to find. You know, that's what we're trying to find out.
Absolutely. And I normally ask guests on my show, what do they actually believe with their experience in the field, the afterlife to be? So for each of you, what is kind of your hypothesis or theory on what the afterlife actually is?
I mean, do we have 6 hours? I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sophia, that is such a hard question. I mean, it's like I used to believe, growing up, that it was heaven and hell. And then as I got older, I started to believe that there was this middle space. And then I started to believe, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, can you, is it, Can you direct yourself? Do you get leave? Is it like a Wonderful Life movie where you gain your wings and get to come down and help people? Like, I don't know, but I have a feeling it exists, and that's what we're searching for. I mean, I believe it exists. I hope there's something after this, you know, life that we are living, but I mean, that's why we're doing it. Chip communicates a bit more directly with the spirit, so maybe he'll have an insight.
You know, I think that what the afterlife is, it's a continuation. I think our souls are immortal. I think that they are a spark of energy or a part of who we are, and for a while they live inside a body. And then when the body is no longer living, the soul emerges and transitions and changes and moves between dimensions. And that's my working theory on what I believe right now, that our souls, as I said, are immortal and go on and on and exist. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, it's always great to just hear other people's sides on things, you know, because it the whole field really is just kind of trying to figure out that one great question and just really figure out why ghosts are here. So it's always great to hear just other people's perspectives. But with all the investigating you've done, I know you've gone to some amazing places, but where is the number one place for each of you that you would love to go in the future?
Ooh, tough question.
I mean, we always say, I mean, it's never going to happen. I mean, if somebody is listening that can make this happen, like Disney World, like the Haunted Mansion ride, because people have been known to like throw ashes of people like in that ride, or like, you know, there's been ghost sightings in Magic Kingdom. That would be incredible. The White House, I'd love to do the White House. It's always been known to be haunted. You know, the Lincoln bedroom and all that. I think that would be interesting to get in there. But I don't know. I mean, it's a tough. I mean, even thinking about traveling and investigating during this time is hard. It's sad. Chip, you've got some place, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, I've been to so many haunted destinations, and many of them that are the more famous haunted destinations, and I love a lot of them. You know, I can't say that I have a favorite. I can't say that I absolutely have a favorite. And as far as on my bucket list of places that I would want to go, there aren't, for paranormal stuff, there really aren't that many left. I've never been to Bobby Mackey's, and I'm not sure, because of the energy that I've heard that is there, that I would feel comfortable being there. So nothing against it, but I don't know that would be some place that that is on my list of places that I'm kind of wanting to visit. One of the things I've always thought, and there's some controversy surrounding this, is one of the things for just myself, not to necessarily do a paranormal investigation, but moreover to see what I would feel and sense, I've always kind of been intrigued by the idea of going to and looking at, seeing what I would feel at one of the concentration camps in Europe. A very different sort of thing, and it's controversial. I mean, I know that sounds kind of weird, but I just want to go there for myself to show tribute, but to see if I felt anything while I was there, what my feelings or my senses, my intuition would indicate to me when I was there.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Chip. Not an actual investigation, but like just like what you would pick up in that kind of environment. Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's something that I mean, we deal with it all the time. It's like, it's, you know, we go on vacations or we'll like take trips, and you stumble upon a location that you may not know any information about. And I think there's this weird inherent thing that, even though I'm not psychic, I mean, it's you pick up on the energy of the space. And so that must be, Chip, when you travel with us, like if we do strange escape stuff and go on cruises, you must like have that more often than not, right?
I do pick up things, not all the time, because I don't want to be Whoopi Goldberg from Ghost or anybody that's constantly getting inundated with stuff.
You're in danger, girl.
You in danger, girl.
You're in danger,
ma'am. But, you know, you wind up picking up stuff, and I wind up picking up stuff every now and then. But, you know, it's very interesting to go around, and I never know if I'm going to pick up something or not. It just kind of happens organically. But I there are certain places that seem more active than others. I never know what I'm going to get. That's the bottom line.
Right.
And so, you know, the thing about the concentration camps, I have immense feelings of sadness surrounding the entire situation of what the camps were.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is to go there and show my reverence to the people that suffered and died there. But part of it is also to go there. There's really a part of me also that really wants to go there and do just something simple, like for myself, imbue that part of me that is remorseful about what happened and prayerful for the souls of the people that are there, and to just kind of, as weird as this may sound, leave a part of myself there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because, I mean, it's a really horrible event that happened there, but it also, if you think about it from a psychic standpoint, I'm sure there's so many people that are also lost there and still probably confused and hurt, and having someone like you go in there, maybe you could help them or alleviate that, or just give them, you know, a feeling that, like, hey, I'm sorry this happened to you, but, you know, the world, this is different now, you know, you can go and move on or try to be at peace.
I don't know what I would find if I went. That's a big question mark, but I'm drawn. That's what I can honestly say, is I'm drawn to visit there before I kick the bucket. So, you know, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. But other places, honestly, there's not a lot of places left that I can honestly think that I would want to, you know, I'm just kind of, pun intended, dying to go to.
Yeah, that makes sense. How about with the previous Kindred Spirits cases? Are there any that you feel need revisited, or that you would just like to go back and see, you know, what's happening there now?
I would love to visit. There's a family in season one. This is called the Basement episode. They're from outside of Boston, Chelsea area, I think. They were the nicest family. I think one of the nicest families that we've ever had the privilege to help. I think about them every so often, just to, you know, I'd love to know how they're doing, especially the matriarch of the family, and just to check in. That family sticks in my brain more often than not. And then, of course, Waverly Hills, still want to go back. I mean, when we went, Amy and I had the goal of connecting with the nurses that we had connected with way back. And when we showed up, Tina said, you know, there's this is happening and I need your help. And so our entire case shifted to helping her, because that is more important. So I still have the urge. I still have the urge, obviously, to go back to Waverly at any point, but to go back and really dig into that, our original goal, which was to speak to those nurses again and try to give them a little relief and guidance.
I think that's a great
answer.
Are
there any else for you, Chip?
I've been sitting here trying to think if there's anything else that I think, you never know what we're going to discover when we go back, because things shift and change all the time. But I will say this. Although I can't think of a case that I think that I feel the need to go back and revisit, I will tell you that the very first case that I worked with Amy and Adam on Kindred Spirits, with them on Kindred Spirits, undoubtedly is the case that has affected me the most. And Adam will remember this well. It was the Lost Amy case. Remember that case, Adam?
Yep.
The horse.
Oh, yeah. I knew exactly what you're talking about when you brought it up.
And it certainly 100% impacted all of us. I mean, to go to that house and feel like, from what Amy and Adam had told me after I'd walked through the house, to feel like they were there thinking that it was a family member who was possibly was haunting the location, and to discover that there was a different angle to it, and there was also a little girl spirit that was there, was very, it was very confusing at first, but as we moved on, it made sense. And some of the things that went on during that investigation were intense. That investigation, for all of the ones we've done, and there have been some that have been very emotional to me, but that one more than anything, it still impacts me. I can't, if it comes on television as a repeat, I can't even get through the episode without bawling my eyes out. It was so devastating, and I think we finished that case up, but for me, if I ever had the opportunity to go back to that house again, I would want to go back in that house and try to connect with that little girl again to see if she has moved on or if she's there. That would be something that I would find very satisfying, hopefully, to go back in and see if I could connect with her again or if she had finished what she needed there and moved on.
You know, interesting enough, Chip, like I think that's a great, I mean, that would be wonderful. And to add, behind the scenes, I don't even think you know this, but the day we did the reveal, quote unquote, and told them what we thought it was, and then we talked about how you helped, Amy and I went back down into the basement to do a quick EVP session to see if she understood. And I think Amy asked something about, you know, you can move on, you don't have to be here, it's totally fine for you to go. And because you had told her that a couple of times, I think, when you were there. And
right.
We got the EVP, we got an EVP that said, okay. Right? It said, okay. And this was the day, this is during the day, and it said, okay. So, like, we got the notion that she felt like she knew what she needed, she could go, and, like, she could leave. So it would be interesting to find out if she actually, you know, did that, you know? I feel like she did, you know, because you did. We were all there helping her, and I think it did work. But I agree. I think going back there would be interesting.
And that's one of the things that, you know, lots of times we may hear from our clients about what happened beyond when we were there, good, bad, or otherwise. And, you know, but there are times when we don't, when if it's kind of resolved and things calm down and whatever, then they don't really feel the need to reach out again. But that was one of the cases that it was the most significant case of Kindred that has impacted me on an emotional level. And I'm glad to hear that she said okay. I feel like what we did there, I felt pretty satisfied with what we did there, that she was going to, if she had not already completed her transition completely into spirit, that we let her know that we acknowledged her and that it was safe and okay to go. And so my hope is, my sincere hope and prayer is that she has completed her transition, she's okay, and she's not needing whatever we hopefully, anymore what hopefully we provided while we were there.
Definitely. And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, virtual events that either of you would like to mention?
I think the big thing that we want to mention tonight is, please, everybody, tune in tonight to our brilliant season premiere at 10 o'clock Eastern and 9 Central.
Yes, please, please, please tune in. Please tell your friends, set your DVRs. There is a new episode of Kindred Spirits, but also following the first three episodes of Kindred Spirits at 11 o'clock. So it's 10 o'clock, brand new episode. Then at 11 o'clock, there are three specials that are airing directly after. So the fun does not stop after the new episode at 10 o'clock. And then the rest of the season, right, Kindred Spirits Resurrected airs after the episode. So there is like 2 hours of Kindred Spirits from 10 o'clock to midnight. Set your DVRs if you can't stay up that late. And I can speak for Chip and myself and Amy when I say, when it is safe and we are back doing events and we are back out in public, please come. Please come and shake our hands and give us a hug, because we miss all of you, all of you. I mean, there's so many people that we have not seen in so long, and everyone be safe and take care of themselves.
Amen to everything Adam Berry just said.
Woo!
Congratulations,
well, I
to you
thank
both.
You.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thank you both so much for coming on today. I would love to have you both back on in the future. Show is definitely always open to both of you, by the way, if you ever need to promote anything. And Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New
thank
Year.
You.
Thank
Happy
you,
New
Sophia.
Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you, guys.
Have a great.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you,
thank
too.
You
thank
much.
You.
Yeah, have
yeah
a great
fantastic
rest of your
show
weekend.
Today,
bye,
Sophia.
Guys. Definitely.
Fantastic
Chip
show,
and Adam
Sophia.
Were such great guests. Everyone, make sure to check out Kindred Spirits tonight. Thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you. And I will talk to you guys again next week with Amanda Paulson from TikTok and YouTube. Bye, guys.
Yeah, and thanks for the question in the chat room, Amish comedian. And, you know, using the electronics there, too, by the way. And you know, that's that maybe part of the comedian part. The Ghost Host Show is Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And, yeah, again, visit adam-berry.com, chipcoffee.com, amy-bruni.net. And for the events, too, as well, make sure you go to @strangeescapes, the premiere tonight, Travel Channel, 9 p.m. Central, as Chip mentioned, too. That's 10 p.m. as well. And for Kindred Spirits, it's going to be a fantastic show tonight. Can't wait. Also upcoming next weekend, we have pretty effing spooky, as Sophia mentioned, YouTube and TikTok sensation Amanda Paulson next week. Also haunted historian founder Connor Gosel will be on the program on the 16th. Intuitive medium researcher, pet spirit grieving author Rob Gutro returns to the program to promote his new work. That'll be on the 30th. Also, Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Mind series paranormal investigator Patrick Doyle will be on the program February 13th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. We have a lot of others that are securing their guest spots as well. And so fantastic show today, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie and Sion Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.